You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson, here today for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And Brett, I think it's a little warmer than your forecast said. It's sneaky hot today.
I'm never wrong on my forecast.
Oh,
never.
Ha-ha.
It's you that's wrong.
Aha.
You're just feeling the air wrong.
I see.
Yeah. If I say it rains, it's going to rain, yes.
The weather god, Brett. The best of the best you get here on AM 950. But we are joined in studio with a special guest, Pastor Dean J. Seal, to talk about tonight's Tuesday Dialogue series and the series at large. But Pastor Dean, it's good to have you.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
So you've been doing this. This is the third Tuesday Dialogue, correct?
In
the
year?
Yeah.
It started about 6 years ago. A guy named Pastor Gordon Stewart started it before me. He used to be the pastor at Westminster downtown, which was the Westminster Town Hall Forum. So it's modeled on that. We talk about ethical issues. That's not religious, but ethics are from religious traditions. But, you know, it turns out that atheist people actually have higher standards than most religious people.
Hmm.
So we do these things in there. We're open to new ideas. And what are the issues we have to talk to without bringing any specific religion into it?
And your church, Shepherd of the Hill in Chaska, is a more light congregation, which is, why don't you explain what that is?
Yeah, we're a progressive congregation. We work with the stuff that Dr. King brought to us. More Light is a movement within the Presbyterian Church to have gay ministers and, queer ministers and recognize queer marriage. So we're LGBTQIA plus welcoming and inclusive, and we want people to understand that. We're the only church in town that has a rainbow flag. So I'm not LGBTQIA, but I don't want to go to a church that doesn't welcome them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an ally. And I used to be in theater. I used to be in showbiz. And so I know a lot of people in the gay community who have had really bad experiences with churches. So we're working against that. We're trying to create a healing location. You know, it's the beloved community. It's where everybody is loved for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Buttigieg was talking about Mike Pence was complaining about the fact that Buttigieg is a gay man, and Buttigieg says, "You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with my maker. Mm-hmm. He is as God made him." So that's how we operate.
Yeah, that's a great response by Pete. Yeah, churches like yours had a huge influence on me on just dispelling the idea that Christianity is only a prejudice religion and group of people. I thought that it only existed as a way for prejudice against groups of people, but seeing both having being experienced to people close to me and watching how they practice their faith and being exposed to churches like yours, it went a long ways to see that there's a lot of Christians who care about taking action and doing things that they see as righteous and promoting social justice, which I didn't know was a part of Christianity. So,
Dr. King was a big proponent of taking action, and his methodology, nonviolent protest, is actually based on stuff he learned from Mahatma Gandhi, and Gandhi was a Hindu, right? And Gandhi was a big fan of Jesus. He said that the Sermon on the Mount was the best piece of spiritual writing he'd ever encountered. And Gandhi used to go to both Hindu places and Muslim places growing up in India. So I'm ordained to interfaith work, and I work with every tradition. And so there are churches that want to make a difference in the world. The downtown Westminster, their motto is to be a telling presence in the city. In other words, to have impact, to make a difference.
Mm.
And so that's what our church is about.
Yeah, and that's really, like, if you open up that book, That's what it's getting at. That's what it's about. So
there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, it doesn't really add up how the right wing in America has been able to hijack Christianity and make it about their political issues, really.
Well, there's a couple of things going on there. One is a sense of there's a purity movement, which is to say, I want to be as pure as possible. And that's kind of, in our world, that seems to be a little self-obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
You're all worried about, and it's because the ministry is there to scare people into thinking they're going to hell unless they go to church every Sunday. And God's taking attendance and is going to rub you out if you're not perfect. Well, we don't believe in that. We believe that people are imperfect, and not everybody has to go to our church. And if you go to our church, it's because you want to do something, get together with other people, learn, have a spiritual moment in your week. You know, it's really hard to take time out away from the screen and the phone to just, like, be in a meditative state and encourage yourself to think about your spiritual life. And there's a lot of people who don't think they have a soul, or they've forgotten they have one. So we encourage people to rediscover the soul aspect of what their life is about. A lot of the churches that don't do any social action are also homophobic, and they also don't ordain women. Mm. So if they're not ordaining women, they're probably not very active in the community, and I think that's a great way to measure it. Presbyterians have been ordaining women for about 40 years now.
That's great. Now, tonight's event, Empathy and Equity, it's on race. Why don't you give a little preview of what to expect? That's taking place at 7 p.m. at Shepherd of the Hill Church in Chaska, 145 Engler Boulevard. But yeah, give us a little preview of what to expect.
Engler Boulevard and Highway 41, easy to get to by freeway.
Look for the big red rocker.
Look for the big red rocker. Thanks. It's about racial tension and how we can de-escalate racial tension. A lot of white people don't know how to talk to black people. They're scared that the black people hate them. The black people don't hate them. The black people just want to get along. Jamila Anderson she's an actor in town. She works at the Pillsbury House. And as an actor, she can present on different aspects of empathy and equity. It's about how do we communicate to each other easily and with confidence. So she's done this for national organizations across the country. She does it for, like, businesses and stuff like that. And she's available locally, so we thought we'd grab her. She provides tools for those who want to de-escalate tension in conversation. And an example like that is with the Chaska School District. There was a problem with students who said that we don't have any Black History Month. The principal said, well, what do you want to do? And they said, well, let's put up some posters about the different heroes we have. And he said, well, that's great. Go ahead. So they put up posters about George Washington Carver and Reverend Dr. King. Then they put up one about Malcolm X. And the principal said, you have to take that one down because he's too divisive. Now, that's a problem because Malcolm X was actually preaching reconciliation between the races. When he started out, he was with the Muslim nation. I got that wrong.
Brotherhood. What is that again?
Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam.
There we go. And in those days, the Nation of Islam preached that all white people are devils. And he preached that too until he went to Mecca and was hanging around with a bunch of Danish Muslims. And he said, these guys aren't devils. Mm. So he came back and left the Nation of Islam and started his own operation, which said, work with white people who will treat us with respect. And he was actually talking about working with Dr. King. And then he got rubbed out. Okay? So that's an important story to be told. That's part of American history.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents of kids were saying, our kids who are of mixed race, who are non-white, are not being treated with the respect that anybody is owed. And they started ROAR, R-O-A-R, which is Residents Organized Against Racism. And they're doing this excellent job of saying, the school district needs to address this, and here's how we can do it. So they formed a group, a task force, that advises the school board, and the school board goes, this is good stuff. Let's do this. So they're working together really well. Now, the problem is, at the school board meetings, there's been some people coming in who say, you've hired a Muslim educator to work on this. And, you know, Muslims are trying to force Islam down their throat. No, they're not. And this guy is a supporter of Muslim terrorism. No, he's not. And they're coming in from Hopkins and St. Louis Park and St. Paul and lying about being residents in Chaska. So we try to get those guys out of the way. They try to engage people in a shouting match.
Yeah.
But the Roar people are de-escalating that and saying, let's just ignore those guys and move forward with how we can make this a better school district. So it's a very successful operation. And so what Jamila does is bring in a little extra training on the professional level of how do we do a racial diversity conversation that, you know, corporations have to learn about. And so she's going to add to their ability to do this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spoke with her and kind of asked who is the right person to attend this. And she made it clear that this is for everyone, because this is something to gain of just having a toolbox of how to discuss race, because it's the tactic of either being a bigot or ignoring it, that's not a good one. That's
no.
You don't get anywhere there. And what I think has happened in America is the ignoring has really gone on for decades, and people have moved past where they're not blatant racist anymore, the general public, for the most part, and wouldn't want to be perceived as racist or called a racist.
And they don't think they are.
And then that's the other thing. They don't see when they behave in a way that is. And just being able to, like, say, oh, that's racist, that sends them on the defensive, that makes them feel like they're being shamed. So having a better way to talk about things, enlighten people, very useful.
That's a really great example. And what it's not necessarily racism as much as it's white privilege. Mm. Now, I grew up in Hopkins, where I never met a black person until I went to college. My family is 100% Norwegian for three generations. They never had any encounter with the black community. So I was just ignorant. Mm-hmm. I still got some ignorance to work with here. But white privilege is something I'm starting to understand. It's all the stuff that I've never had to encounter. I want to tell you this story that comes from an article by Lori Lakin Hutcherson. She edits a website about this, and she wrote an article called "What I Told My White Friend When He Asked for My Black Opinion About White Privilege." Okay, it's really well written. It's long. There's like 10 different things, and I'm going to just read number 5. Okay.
Okay.
When I got accepted to Harvard, 3 separate times I encountered white strangers as I prepped for my maiden trip to Cambridge, Massachusetts, that rankle me to this day. The first was the white doctor giving me a physical at Kaiser. Me, I need to send an immunization report to my college so I can matriculate. Doctor, where are you going? Me, Harvard. Doctor, you mean the one in Massachusetts? The second was in a store, looking for supplies I needed for Harvard's suggested what to bring with you list. Store employee, where are you going? Me, Harvard. Store employee, you mean the one in Massachusetts? The third was at UPS, shipping off boxes that said what to bring to Harvard. I was in line behind a white boy mailing boxes to Princeton and in front of a white woman sending her child's boxes to wherever. Woman to the boy, what college are you going to? Boy, Princeton. Hang on a sec. Woman, congratulations. Same woman to me. Where are you sending your boxes? Me, Harvard. Woman, you mean the one in Massachusetts? I think, no, bitch, the one downtown next to the liquor store. But I say, gesturing to my labeled boxes, yes, the one in Massachusetts. Then she says, congratulations, but it's too late. The point here is, if no one has ever questioned your intellectual capabilities or attendance at an elite institution based solely on your skin color, that is white privilege.
Yes, and that nails it. And we'll get into this more. We got to take a break in a minute.
Sure.
But I'm glad you brought that up because the idea of white privilege is so misunderstood. And again, something that puts people on the defensive and they think they can just brush aside. So let's look into that. But that story was perfect. Tonight, Shepherd of the Hill Church, Chaska, Tuesday Dialogue Series, where we have Pastor Dean of the church here to talk about it. Tonight's event is Empathy and Equity, a talk about race, a toolbox, really.
Yeah.
Anything to add before we go?
Yeah, there's something I've heard lately that I don't understand, which is people say, well, we don't have to be politically correct anymore. And I don't get that because to me, politically correct means being polite. You're just polite. And I don't think we don't have to be polite anymore. So that's another example of people like saying, well, how careful do I have to be? Well, you have to be as careful as you would being polite to anybody, you know? So that's in the, and so some of this is just not thinking, and some of it is just basic innocence, where people have just never thought about it or never learned about it. So this is about racial de-escalation and racial conversation. How can you have empathy for the other person so that you can have a relationship based on equity?
Great. That's tonight, 7 p.m., Chaska, Shepherd of the Hill Church. But we'll be right back here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We're taking phone calls, 952-946-6205. Give us a call if you got anything to add to the discussion, but we'll be right back.
Primary season is upon us, and tonight and tomorrow mark the second Democratic presidential debates. We'll have live coverage here on AM 950 beginning at about 7 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to the entire debates and hear from all of the candidates. Again, the second Democratic presidential primary debates are taking place tonight and tomorrow, and you can listen at 7 p.m. here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chushka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and Native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
AM950, The Progressive Voice, Minnesota. Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And we've been talking with Pastor Dean J. Seal of Shepherd of the Hill Church, who's having a Tuesday dialogue series tonight at 7 p.m., Empathy and Equity. Pastor Dean, before we get back into things, we had a caller ask about where that story came from that you read before the break. And I pulled it up here. It says, my white friend asked me on Facebook to explain white privilege. I decided to be honest from Yes Magazine, and it's by Lori Lakin Hutcherson.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
How did you come across that?
I don't know. I read kind of widely. I read Facebook a lot. My Facebook page is kind of like an editorial feed.
Yeah.
You know, I have one for the church and I have one of my own. And people who care about the progressive issues that I care about, like Native Americans and homelessness and the racial issues and the border problem. And, fascist takeover of the United States government? I care about that, too. So the people that like the stuff I do, you know, I end up reading their articles. And this was one of the articles. And I went, yeah, that's pretty good.
I use it the same way. But we were talking... The story dealt with white privilege, and an idea I was kind of saying is that because people are so segregated nowadays and that the idea of racism is a negative one now rather than an accepted, like, positive in America like it had been in the past, so that people don't want to be labeled a racist, and they're very resistant to the term white privilege because they deal with struggle themselves.
Yeah.
So they have a hard time conceptualizing what this is. And that story is a good example of it isn't that any individual doesn't have their own challenges. Like, we all face a difficult life just being here on Earth at the present day. But you are not facing additional problems because of your skin color, and that is the only reason why you face those problems. So that's a better way, I think, to explain it and give an example to.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And part of this, again, it's not so much – it's not racism per se. It's white privilege, which is based on the idea that white people don't even recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you an example of how it's kind of built into the system. I noticed something the other day when I was filling out a form that, you know, is collecting demographic information. So it says there's blanks for check off African American, Hispanic American, Native American, Asian American, and white. Okay, white. It doesn't say European American. It should say European American.
Yeah.
So when this happens, the message is that white people are normal and everyone else is abnormal. It makes white normative and it makes everyone else other. It also removes all history from white people, and we assume that everyone else should remove their history too. This creates a built-in environment of both privilege and prejudice. I'm a Norwegian American. My people came over here in the 1880s. There's a lot of us around here because this was the land that had not yet been settled, and settled meant that it had not yet been completely stolen, taken from the Native Americans. In Minnesota, it's the Ojibwe, the Ho-Chunk, and the Dakota. But by calling ourselves white, it erases the history of the land grab by the Europeans. So white people don't want to acknowledge that they're European Americans. White actually means we're from Europe, and we came from there, and we don't want to go back. But we try to lose that connection. Our families were told to blend in, assimilate, stop speaking Norwegian, start being Americans. And so it's not a surprise. That was a very huge cultural message. For the Germans, during World War I, a lot of Germans changed their names because we were at war with Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to kind of keep your identity on the lowdown. So it's not a surprise that a lot of European Americans expect non-white people to blend in, to assimilate, to become Americans by imitating and becoming white people. And so if they're not assimilating, then they're going, why, what's wrong with America? Well, you know, Remember that when we conquered Mexico and took the northern half, Texas to California, there were a lot of Mexicans there. So they didn't cross the border crossed them. So anybody who's speaking Spanish in the United States probably might have been speaking Spanish 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so how did you, because you say you came from Hopkins, pretty homogeneous area, mm-hmm. Exposure. What in your life led you to receive this consciousness and awareness and then passion as well?
Well, for me, it really came out of the civil rights movement. I was like 8 years old. I was watching Dr. King on black and white TVs, and we saw the cops go in there with dogs and big sticks and fire hoses that could peel the bark off a tree. And they were, you know, going after the black people who were marching peacefully. So the black folk were outclassing the white power structure. And so I had an uncle who was a Lutheran pastor, and he said, if you want to know what an Old Testament prophet looks like, look to Dr. King. And so he was kind of lurking in the background. I didn't like church for 20 years because I only saw the problems with it. But with Dr. King, you start to say, you know, this could actually work. This is what it looks like when it's working. And so when I was teaching, I was taught religion at Augsburg College part-time for about 11 years. And one of the big things I taught was the civil rights movement. So that was the power of God's love being put to work to change things. And he ended segregation. So segregation still happens, but it's not legal. It's not enforced by the law. And Dr. Mm-hmm. King will tell you stuff mm-hmm. like, remember, everything the Nazis did was legal. Mm-hmm. They passed the laws, and then they enforced the laws. Mm-hmm. So segregation was legal. That doesn't mean it's good. Mm-hmm. So the distinction there, whether you believe in God or not, he says a just law is a law that lifts people up. An unjust law is a law that puts people down. So I was telling my students, I expect you to know how to vote when you get out of here. And voting means you have to put your ethics to work in deciding who's going to pass good laws, who's going to pass just laws and unjust laws. So the farther into the civil rights movement I got, the more I wanted to put my shoulder to the wheel whenever I can. And our church tries to be responsive to the needs of the community. And one of the first needs was, let's put up a rainbow flag. Mm. Then another one was some people in our church were working on bringing a Dr. King breakfast to Chaska. And so they talked to me about it, and I helped with that. And then these are the same parents who are working with ROAR. Mm. So our church wants to help them in any way we can. We're not charging them. Nobody pays to get in. And we can create this public forum where this kind of stuff can be talked about in a calm, comfortable environment where people won't be yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm. And for me, my parents divorced when I was 12 years old, and my mom ultimately moved to Minneapolis and bought a house in North Minneapolis, and she dated black man. And if you need to see what white privilege is, have one family member be black and see the differences that they go through in their everyday struggle or just everyday living.
Yeah,
I watched him get arrested for waiting for us outside of our house, like in the car. There was so many blatant examples in my life that is why I care about this a lot. But yeah. When I heard the term white privilege, it was immediately I knew what it was. But that's what I think the problem is that so many don't have that experience. Mine is an odd experience that it shouldn't be in America, really. And just even when my mom deciding to date a black person, it caused all this crazy tension in the family that was unspoken of, that couldn't be addressed, but it was happening as a result of that. Yep. So I think that your mission of the church and being in Chaska, which is a community that is very I don't even want to say it's very homogenous, but because it's changing demographics down there. Yeah. However, not very many advocates for some of those communities. So a great place to start educating, and a place where a lot of incidents have occurred recently.
Yeah.
So
one of the things is that the student population of non-whites is about 25 to 35%, but the school board had not caught up with that. The staff has about 1% people of color. Mm. And as far as I know, there are no black teachers in Chaska, the school district. So the school board is going, yeah, you know what? You're right. We got to fix that.
Yeah. Chaska, I've covered it a bit on the show, but there have been, over the past 18 months or so, seven incidents that have been newsworthy of racism, either in the schools or the community in general. And it just seems like people aren't getting the message, like that they think they can ignore it, and then something else happens. Yeah. And so that's what organizations like ROAR are huge for, a community like Chaska, but really anywhere in Minnesota. So that's why I want to encourage people to come tonight. I'll be there. But this is an issue that you can't be ignorant on. You can't go around and have no kind of experience in talking about race in your day-to-day life. So
actually, it's pretty easy to ignore it, and that's the problem.
Yes, I'm advising not to, but yes, you are absolutely right. Yeah. The easy path is ignoring, but don't let it, because things don't get better. So if we care about these progressive causes, it starts with taking action in our own lives.
Yeah, and that action starts with just educating yourself about stuff you don't know. And that's what white privilege is about. There's one more guest I want to talk about who's going to be there tonight, Gracia Lozano. Is the drop-in manager and outreach coordinator for Launch Ministries in Chaska. That's a drop-in center and a place that's working on finding affordable housing for young people who are having trouble getting launched. So she's going to talk about it briefly, about how racial discussions work locally. So it'll be a very local thing that she talks about. How do young people who are people of color get around in Chaska, and what are the problems, and how can we help move that along?
Well, let's go to, we got a call. One of our regulars, Mark and Fridley, has a story. Mark, it's good to have you.
Well, great. And I don't know if I've run across your guest before at Augsburg University. My kids graduated, Nick and Phoebe. Nick played basketball. We'll get into that. And Phoebe ran cross country, and they had a really great experience at Augsburg, and real thankful. But
that's good. I was just an adjunct.
Gandhi, what's that?
I was just an adjunct, so I was part-time.
Okay. When people talk about Mahatma Gandhi, they get this image of this, you know, peaceful pacifist. But one of the things that he famously said was that he preferred violence to cowardice. And he wasn't advocating violence, but he was saying, like Martin Luther King said, in the end, we will not remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
Yes.
And he was telling people to take action. And my son's experience at Augsburg, where he played basketball, his friends, you know, were on the basketball team, and they actually hung around with the players from the University of Minnesota team. And his roommate was graduated from Minnehaha Academy. Nick and Phoebe went to Concordia Academy, which is a Christian school in Roseville. And this kid, his father's a CEO. He had a friend that played on the team, went to Breck. And they used to go downtown to Uptown, and he noticed basically a physical change in his friends, that they had to stand up straight, and they couldn't look anybody in the eye, especially, you know, police officers. And, you know, Nick asked him about that. He says, you know, welcome to our world. That's the way that we have to. And these weren't, you know, people that grew up in Minneapolis. These were, you know, the sons and daughters of very affluent people, but they had to modify their behavior. And they were on a way to a party once, and Nick's friend was driving, and Nick said, come on, we got to go, we got to get there. He says, I can't go over the speed limit. You know what will happen to me.
Yep.
And I want to close with this, because we need to talk about this as well, and we don't. And it's what Jake Tapper told Rashida Tlaib on CNN Sunday, and it was extremely. I was just angry, but he asked Rashida Tlaib why she doesn't like Israel, and she said, he said, you know, because of the Boycott the Best sanction movement, and you're a champion of that with your fellow progressives, the squad, and she said, Jake, I like Israel. I love the people of Israel. I don't agree with the government of Israel and the apartheid government of Israel and the human rights abuses imposed upon the Palestinian people. And Jake Tapper said, well, don't you think that Israel has a right to exist? And she said, but Jake, doesn't the Palestinians have a right to exist?
Yeah.
And so it's 2019, people. We're still doing this stuff.
That's a really good point. I was in Palestine in January, staying with Palestinian Christians, and the Palestinian Christians say the Israeli guns do not know the difference between a Muslim and a Christian. So they're paying the same price. They've never been involved in terrorism, and they're losing their land, and they're being forced out of the country. So the friends that I have that are Jewish say that they're really mad at Netanyahu. But we all agree that Israel has a place in the world. It's just that how can they make it so that they can cooperate and coexist?
Yeah. And Mark, while he was telling his story, it reminded me of my own college experience. I remember I lived in New York City, and we had just a group of friends out, and there was maybe 14 of us total, and we get stopped by the police just walking down the street, and New York had stop and frisk at the time. And they chose the two black kids out of the group of 14 people, and it was like, really? Really? It's this blatant? You're going to do that? And this has been something that there had been attention on already, that stop and frisk was a racist policy being used that way. But in my own life, I witnessed that happen. So I encourage people, if you think examples like Mark's, mine, stories Pastor Dean has told are wrong, come tonight to Shepherd of the Hill Church in Chaska for the Tuesday Dialogue series on empathy and equity. Learn what to do about this, how to address it, because racial problems in America aren't going to get better by themselves. We can't continue to just ignore the problems, to sweep them under the rug, do something about it, and learn how tonight.
Yep, and afterwards, you're welcome to stay. There's cookies, coffee, and conversation, and a really great exhibit of photography in our art gallery, the Sower Gallery. So we hope to see you there.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. Pastor Dean, thank you for joining us. I'll let you get back to the church.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Primary season is upon us, and tonight and tomorrow mark the second Democratic presidential debates. We'll have live coverage here on AM 950 beginning at about 7 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to the entire debates and hear from all of the candidates. Again, the second Democratic presidential primary debates are taking place tonight and tomorrow, and you can listen at 7 p.m. here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd, and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
Get $50 for your trade-in regardless of condition when you buy new appliances from Warner Stellion. Buy at Warner Stellion and you get our already low price guarantee. Trusted fast free delivery, professional installation, 18 months no interest financing, and now we'll buy your replaced appliances for $50 each. Choose from Minnesota's best appliance selection with friendly specialists who save you time and money. Say goodbye to your tired appliances and get $50 rebates for a limited time at Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 56, Wednesday sunny with a high near 79, Thursday sunny with a high around 82, and Friday sunny with a high near 83. Located just north of 50th and France in Edina, the Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive Chinese menus in the Twin Cities, and they have takeout available too. Learn more about the Great Wall Restaurant at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repeat Stop Do, right here on AM950.
AM950, the Progressive Voice, Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson here today on a beautiful Tuesday here in the Twin Cities. And tonight also, big event, the Democratic debate's going on, correct?
That it is, right here on AM950. Fingers crossed that the technology works out.
Yeah, so
I'm about 80% sure it's going to be on.
We will be carrying that, most likely. This will be interesting, because tonight we have the kind of the centrist candidates all on one stage, and then Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren with them. So a very interesting pairing.
Have you heard the latest rumor? Is that apparently the strategy of the centrists might be to go after Warren and not Bernie.
Oh, why is that?
I didn't read much into it, but apparently because she's higher in the polls, and they think ultimately if it comes down to those two in terms of who's going to kind of carry that proverbial progressive torch, they think it's more likely going to be her instead of Bernie.
Oh, so they're trying to play nice to have a job if they win president?
Yeah, yeah.
I
think they're seeing her as the bigger threat and saying, hey, let's get her out of the race, try to knock her out.
And here's
then,
why it's
and
a,
then they don't see Bernie
a smart move strategically, is because you already missed a chance in 2016. If you didn't endorse him, you already made your move.
With Bernie, yes.
Yeah, so if you didn't make the decision then yeah, go for the other person, because you're going to have the appearance of rolling with the tide if you do like play nice now and expect the job. So I think that strategically might be the best move for them too. But I'm interested to see how the Bernie-Warren debate goes and how, like, if we get to see a contrast, kind of, if one of them pulls ahead, because even Elizabeth Warren's been surging in the polls, but I'd still say those two neck and neck for deciding the progressive wing of the party's preferred candidate. And one of them will likely receive the plurality of that support, which will make them a definite front runner for the entire nominee. So this will be big. This is kind of a big night in the campaign because of that specifically. But let's see, who are some of the other ones? They all slip my mind.
Amy's up there.
Amy's on this stage, huh?
Steve Bullock, who somehow qualify for the debates.
Oh, yeah, the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then is Hickenlooper, right? And,
Hickenlooper's up there, yep.
It's Delaney.
Why is he in the debate?
I know.
Sorry, yeah.
Oh, I was furious that first debate that they kept asking him questions at the end. I'm like, why are you directing questions to him? He's talked enough.
All right, would you be in favor of a debate style where if you have 10 candidates where you're just blatant and say if you're higher in the polls, you get more questions than if you're at the end of the table?
Sure, I would be for that because they do it anyways for the candidates
want.
Because Dennis Kucinich wouldn't get asked a single question at debates back in the day. So why not? Because they're going to go with whatever is going to stir up some news with the progressive candidate, like try and catch them on something and try and get some ratings out of it too. But I'm not a fan, but
ooh, Tim Ryan and Beto are in there too.
Oh,
Tim
Beto.
Tim Ryan especially is very moderate.
Now, Beto, what is his move going forward?
Beto is kind of like Mayor Pete in that they're similar and that they really don't have, any fans of those two guys are going to not like me saying this, they don't really have any policy positions.
No, but Mayor Pete does what Beto does better than Beto. Beto had Ted Cruz going for him in that Senate campaign and just how unlikable Ted Cruz is and how Beto's a decent guy. He seems like a kind of cool, he would be a cool politician, actually. So between the two, it's like a no-brainer. But you put him on a presidential stage with 20 others and the flaws start showing quickly.
Here's an interesting question, because they kind of remind me of Obama in 2008, because as decent as a president as he was, really, if you go back and watch that primary, position-wise, he didn't really stand for a whole lot. I wonder if he would struggle if they actually had like a 20-person wide-open field, because back then he was basically just the alternative to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I know. I actually play out the hypothetical in my head often, is because I supported Barack in the 2008 primary, donated to his campaign, and I play out, what if Hillary Clinton had won, and what if I would have supported her and pushed her over the top, and would life have been better? It's hard to know, but I feel like Obama, when push came to shove, kind of made concessions all the time, and all the things that Hillary Clinton is unpopular for here on the left, Barack carried out as well, but just was a different packaging. So all the faults we find in Hillary, really, Barack Obama ended up governing that way. So would Hillary have been a better option in those elections? Question I ask myself. But let's go to the calls. We got Lawrence in St. Paul. Lawrence, it's good to have you.
Always a pleasure. Hey, I want to talk about the debates tonight and how what you won't hear is any substantive remedies for what's going to be eating at America, and that is racism. Hmm. I can hear this in your show, the shows previous to Matt's, Tom Hartman, all of these shows are the same. They're talking about everybody is dancing around the most important issue in this country, and that's racism. And I think we should actually divide the country. We should split up America, split it up into states that if all the whites that don't want to be around blacks, let them go to certain states. And all of everybody else, let them go to certain states and have neutral states. If we as a country refuse to really call out racism, then we need to divide the country. That's what we need to talk about. That sounds shocking, I know. It is shocking to your ears. But if we refuse to address the number one problem in this country, and this is how we address it. First of all, you make, and this may sound crazy to you, I mean to whites, but this is totally rational when it goes from the mouth of a black person to the ears of another black person. And here it is. The first remedy is, yes, reparations, not necessarily money, but fast track through the court system. If we've been wrong or if we've been discriminated against, our issues fast track through the court system. That's one, number one. Number two, forget about Columbus Day. It'll be Juneteenth. That is a day that the slaves were officially released. That is a national holiday to be celebrated nationally. And finally, education. A minimum teacher salary will be $42,000 a year, the minimum teacher salary, so we may never, as a country, be subjected to this thing in the White House. Now, I would love to hear your comments.
Lawrence, I mean, I don't find any fault in your reasoning.
That's a really good idea.
A fast track through the courts. That is
because so often you just lose people when you think, oh, that means we're just going to give everyone a check for $10,000 or X amount of money.
But yeah, and I'm not even opposed to that either.
The only thing is, you just lose people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The political viability. I love the proposal. I'm all for it, and I agree that that is the issue in America. We ignore it, people. Ignore race and racism and think it's over, but it's absolutely not. It's even harder to deal with nowadays because it's hidden in so many people. So come to Shepherd of the Hill Church, Chaska, 7 p.m. for Tuesday Dialogue Talk, Empathy and Equity, a talk about how to have discussions about race here in America. That's all for today, and we will be back tomorrow. We'll see you.